It takes me back to my my days in high school, where our youth director, I don't know if jokingly or ironically, I don't know what the word is, but yeah, we went to a hell room passage at a Pentecostal church in the west side of Pensacola, Florida, and it sticks in my mind to this day. And as I was reading our Repent and Perish, I just kept thinking of this random hell room play that we went through, and then we got back in our church van and we never really, like, there was no debrief. It was
Cool,
like,
cool, cool.
all right, kids, see you later. Come back for.
That sounds terrible.
Yeah, it was over by the Fast Eddie's in Pensacola, Florida. So that's, yeah, I remember walking in and being like, what are we watching, Jeff? What's going on here, bud? And then getting back in the car, and I don't know, maybe we got Krispy Kreme afterwards. I don't, that part I don't remember, but everything was a blur.
Welcome to this Bible podcast. I know, the name's super creative. I'm your host, Sam Lewis, and I'm glad you're here. We'll be diving into the daily lectionary, and I hope you'll find something that is maybe a little fun, maybe meaningful, and hopefully brings you closer to God. Let's dive in. For today's episode, I got a chance to catch up with my buddy Josh Owen Sweeney, although I did forget to have him introduce himself. So I'll just catch you up some. Josh is a husband and a father up in Dayton, Ohio, where he is a director of youth and also is working toward ordination in the PCUSA, or Presbyterian Church of the United States of America. And he's a good guy. He uses he, him pronouns, and I hope you enjoy it. Luke 13, 1 to 9, do you have it?
Yeah, I have it right here.
Yeah, will you read that for us?
Yeah, for sure. At that very time, there were some present who told him about the Galileans, whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. He asked them, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, they were worse sinners than other Galileans? No, I tell you. But unless you repent, you will all perish as they did. Or those 18 who were killed when the Tower of Siloam fell on them? Do you think that they were worse offenders than all others living in Jerusalem? No, I tell you. But unless you repent, you will all perish just as they did." Then he told this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and found none. So he said to the gardener, "See here, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and still I find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil?" He replied, "Sir, let it alone for one more year, until I dig round it and put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
And that was the NRSV. I didn't say that before.
No, I was grateful you were reading the NRSV because I really like the CEB, but I really do not like what they have done with the word repent.
Right.
They've turned it into like, unless you change your hearts and lives. I'm like, that's sort of what it means. Anyway, neither here nor there.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you need to turn, it's crazy what it has gotten. Not blacklisted, but that has gotten pushed out because of
others' usage of words that come from scripture.
And so, yeah, no, I agree wholeheartedly with you.
Well, and I think we're scared of the word repent. And like, I do think, right, people read this passage and they think like, oh, this says like, follow Jesus, you're going to hell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's
when, and then this is what the guy with the men screaming outside of you, outside the stadium, as you're going in, that they're, this is what they're yelling. And you're just like, can we get the whole context here? Cause you got to bring in Luke 12 and you gotta keep it, if you're going to start yelling at us, at least give us a little bit more within it. And yeah. So, but yeah, the turn or burn, right? Like that's what you can see with, I don't know, lazy exegetical work.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So for sure. What do you do with this? You know, where do you go?
Yeah, I think you know, you have to, so for me, if I were preaching this text, you know, you have these two that you have to kind of hold in tension with each other. Cause you know, I would want to run to the parable, right? Like, you know, that's usually what's the easiest thing to do on a Sunday morning preaching. But, you know, yeah, if you were sitting there to break all of this down, you know, kind of one by one, you know, yeah, you have Jesus. For me, whenever I read the text, it's the idea of that we are no better than anyone else, right? Like that, you know, that if you were to say to, you know, someone else, oh, can you believe what they've done? You know, yada, yada, yada. And, you know, Jesus is like, whoa, let's stop it right here. Because now you have to present, you know, kind of things out, right? Like, you know, let's check the receipts on your life. And why do you think that you are better than someone else? And so that's what I see whenever I kind of would wrestle with this text within, you know, the first, what is that, first five verses? You know, but there is the acknowledgement, right? I think there is the acknowledgement of repenting, you know, that if you have wronged, you know, someone, like, that's why I love the show Curb Your Enthusiasm, because I feel like Larry David repents every time. And like, I wasn't a big apologetic kind of guy. Like if I did, it's like, oh, you know, deal with it, you know, tough stuff. But then like, I started kind of watching more and more Curb, and I was like, you know, Larry's just apologizing every episode for something dumb he's doing. And then I was just like, you know what? He's repenting of it. He may not understand why he has to. Maybe someone's like, you need to go tell them you're sorry. And I'm just like, I love this show in the sense of the repentance that comes from, you know, the curmudgeon of Larry David. And so I don't know. So I would probably try to find some Curb Your Enthusiasm clip
for
to,
sure.
To work within this. And then, yeah, the fig tree, I love, because, you know, it's one of those things where like Jesus isn't done with you, you know, because, you know, the story ends with, if it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if it not, you can cut it down. I got a feeling that if, you know, where we were to interject people in the Bible, or, you know, of who's who, right? And so a man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard. So we have a man, and then we have, he said to the gardener. And so you have this dialogue back and forth. And so could you say that it's God and Jesus going back and forth? Who knows? Like, it depends on how you want to see the story. But for me, you don't get, did the fig tree produce fruit the next year? You don't know. But I would think that the gardener would come back and say, let's give it another year. Let's give it another year. Like, I think that there's something where, you know, maybe it didn't produce fruit, but maybe there were some buds. Or maybe it looks a little bit healthier. Maybe it grew a little bit. And so maybe it didn't produce something of substance, but maybe it got a little bit better. And so that's what I would think within here of what Jesus isn't done with you, you know, that to keep growing and to keep, you know, producing is how, I don't know, that's how I see the text and read the text.
When I also, as I think about like the two pieces together, right? So I think of this first piece, like I think like our minds, or at least my mind, goes to this, like, but if you don't repent, then you're going to end up just like them. Like, if you don't repent, you're going to die. The point of the first part is not, in my opinion, like, turn or burn, right? The point is, you're not better than them. And I need you to do better, not than them, but for you. And then the second part is, like, also, like, I'm not saying that, like, I'm done with you. I'm saying, okay, I'm going to work on you. I'm going to till the soil some. We'll see where we go from there.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, I couldn't remember if the Tower of Solomon, like, even these examples that Jesus gives, you know, are just so, you know, because again, like, you have the Jewish people talking about the Galileans, and then whatever happened in the tower, which I can't recall, but, you know, and so it's just like, even how we get in the church so boundaried around oh, well, I think about it in college, right? Like the few small group or whatever they were called, like Wesley Covenant groups that were around that ostracized those that like went out and partied. And they were like, oh, can you believe so-and-so did this? Can you believe so-and-so did that? And so it's not even Jewish people, you know, people of a certain covenant talking about other. Jesus bringing everybody.
Yeah.
You know, and there's no one out of bounds within his breakdown, which I absolutely love, right? Because, you know, how often does the church, you know, otherize, you know, people from a marginalized group or people that don't agree with what they do? And Jesus is like, whoa, let's stop it here. So that's the other, you know, kind of thread I think I would pull on in this. That would be fun.
Like pump the brakes.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, you know, let's not get ahead of ourselves. You know, let's put ourselves out for display.
I think that's a good word for me, right? A good word for me is like, hey, stop. You're not better than them, right?
There is nothing.
Yeah, there's nothing that is possible that they cannot accomplish or they have done, you know, that is better or worse than you. Yeah, I agree.
Yeah. I love Anne Lamott writes that she has this priest friend who said that you can pretty well count on you've made Jesus in your image when Jesus hates all the same people you do. It's like, oh yeah. Well, I'm so glad we got to hang out. Talk a little shop.
You know, a little turn or burn. You know, neither of us are around the Southern Baptist crowd as much anymore. But
yeah.
You know, this brought it right back home for me a little bit.
You were back in that hell house.
Yeah, I was there, you know, just hanging out, little ninth grader, eating popcorn, thinking I'm about to see a play, and Satan randomly comes running around, and it was wild. I got to call my youth group friends now and just be like, hey, sure. You guys remember this? And I'm going to be the only one. They're going to be like, Dude, you're a loser. And I'll be like, all right, that's fair.
Cool. Well, will you pray for us?
Yes.
Gracious and loving God, we give thanks for this day. We give thanks for this time of Lent that we are called to reconcile who we are and your way within this world. God, just pray for Sam as she continues to do ministry all up and down the San Francisco and Silicon Valley. God, just let it continue to be a wonderful ministry of the dinner church, God, and just let us continue to be faithful witnesses to your kingdom as it continues on throughout the world. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.